van die Here wat vol troue liefde is. Mag hy vandag vir ons genade en vrede gee. Amen. Right, kom hier is weer so 'n lied wat net sê op berge en in dale en oral is God. Ons sing vers 1 en vers 4 is 'n loflied. Kom ons staan en sing ons dit saam. Terwille van ons gaste hierso sal ek gaan ek so 'n bietjie in 'n ander taal praat dan vanoggend om hulle ook te verwelkom, want ons dit laat dink my sommer aan 'n storie. Baie jare gelede het die boere getrek na Namibië toe, Duits Wes-Afrika toe, en ek het nou net ook die storie vertel wat hulle deur die Oranje rivier gekom en daaronder by Hakkies Doring daar by Goudhous toe kom Jan Jonker Afrikaner en hulle het 'n klavier gehad bo op die Ossawa om in die land in te bring. En toe het Jan Jonker Afrikaner toe gooi hy uit sy woede uit die klavier binne in die rivier. Wat het ons mense toe gedoen? Hulle teruggery Kaap toe 'n ander klavier gaan haal. So daarmee wil ek net sê, we can adapt and we can make a plan. And therefore, this morning, welcome, and remember, next Sunday, we will have every Sunday, 8:30, an English service as well. So, let's pray. Father God, we thank you in this morning for your wonderful, wonderful presence, your love, your mercy. You are indeed our Savior, our God, our Redeemer. Thank you. Thank you for every single one here. Thank you for love. Thank you for caring. Thank you for your word, your Holy Spirit, and you are the one that guides us every single day, just as we sang this morning. You are the father of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and now you are our father again, as always. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for a moment that we can receive your word, and we pray that you will just bless us and guide us to apply it into our lives, and please help us, Father, to understand and to add value in the context of our society. Please bless our meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So to our guest, I will interchange between Afrikaans and English, but let me read one single verse. I just want to say this. When you read Matthew 24, dis wat ons gaan lees, Matteus 24. Matthew 24 is one of the most curious chapters in the whole Bible. It is a prophecy about the end times, dit vertel van hierdie eindtye, dit vertel van al die goeders wat gebeur, and when you look around us in the world at this moment, you will see a lot of these things happening. Ons sien aardbewings for the first time in many, many decades and well in history we have Richterskaal 7 plus aanhoudend aardbewings byvoorbeeld. So we have all this earthquakes and stuff that is happening. But let me read this one verse, make it 2. Because last week I had to read a whole chapter. So ek sien julle nou afslag vandag reeds is net 2 verse. Maar ek gaan dit in Engels lees en in Afrikaans lees. So in English it says in Matthew 24 verse 12. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Julle lees net hierdie vers. Omdat die minagting van die wet, sê die Afrikaans, van God sal toeneem, sal die liefde by baie verkoel. So, let me say this. If you think that there are certain signs in the world, in creation, that reminds us of the end times, and you get a little bit scared about what you see and what you hear about all these things, the one thing that should scare us is what is happening in the church at this moment. Want as die wet van die Here nie meer geag word nie, sal die liefde afkoel. So as jy bang is vir aardbewings, dis banger vir wat jy sien rondom jou vandag binne in die kerk van Christus. This is what we will say this morning. This is where we will concentrate on. And just this, and then it says, maar die wat tot die einde volhard sal gered word. Die wat vasbyt sal gered word. So there is a something happening in this world, and many believers tend to lose their passion for Jesus Christ. Baie gelowiges, ek het dit baie in die kerk gesien, ken baie sulke mense met wie ons al lank pad in die kerk gestap het, verloor die passie vir Jesus Christus. And so what happens is, the relationships between you and your fellow Christians, your relationship with God, cools off. And it seldom happens at one single moment. It is something that just fades into society. It fades into the church, slowly. You compromise piece by piece. This is what happens. Ons gee so bietjie weg. Draak so stadig. You still believe. You still read your Bible. You know all the Bible verses. You remember the old days when you were in Sunday school and the stuff they taught you there. But your love for God, your love for Christ fades away. Hy koel af. You may go to church. You may read your Bible once in a while, but something grew old, cold. Jy koud geraak. There was a time where your prayers were just a natural sort of thing, but suddenly it becomes something that is an effort, and you struggle to do so. And there was a time when you were so hungry for the Word of God, and all of a sudden it's not there anymore. So there was a time in your life where Jesus was everything in your life, your heart, your soul, your mind, your everything. And then it just faded away. Iets het geskuif. Iets skuif in mense se lewens. It's not a dramatic sort of a rebellion. It is just a distraction. Spiritual fatigue, your prayers become shorter, the scripture that you read is just occasional, and your conviction is inconvenient. Julle hoor, ons skuif stukkie vir stukkie weg. You live by the crumbs. while the bread of life sits next to you. That is the sad thing about it. And we are concerned about the earthquakes. We are concerned about the rumors of war. We are concerned about the wars itself. But there's a bigger concern. And it's right here. It's within us. This is it. So there's a slow, invisible sort of movement. You still love God. You still speak about Him. You will say, yeah, yes, I believe in Him. I believe Jesus is the Savior. Yes, I believe it. I believe the Holy Spirit is still active in my life. But I'm not so sincere about it anymore. I will spend a lot of time for entertainment. But when someone asks you 5 minutes for devotion, no, it's too long. That's a massive effort. So there's an exhaustion in our lives, spiritual. We do have the time for scrolling. We do have the time for hours and hours watching, even if we are tired. But something stands in our way to spend the same amount of time to the one that we call the Savior, the one we call the Creator of this world, the one who is the head of the church. You know what is the most dangerous part is? You still function as a Christian. You still call yourself a Christian. You do the Christian sort of things. But there's a movement, slight movement away. And some people will not even notice it. And sometimes you yourself struggle to notice it. But there's a movement. And then it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Jy sal die warmte gevoel. Jy sal sommer so weet daar by die Emmausgangers na Jesus se opstanding het hulle warm gevoel gekry. And then it disappeared. Die warmte gaan weg. Ek raak koud. And the word that they use in the Greek is grow cold. So it's a slow movement of a chilliness that is happening within us and within the church. So it doesn't necessarily move away one night and disappeared. And when there's this movement of growing old, something else happens, love. That love, the word is agape, whatever church you are, they will pronounce it differently, but it's a real, real godly love. So it's not just the love for my neighbor, but the love for God will slowly move away. It will grow cold. So this is what gebeur in ons lewens. Die liefde vir God het afgekoel geraak. So once you had a heart burning for Christ, and all of a sudden, is Jesus a ijskas. You didn't stop believing in God. You didn't reject Him. But you stopped burning for Him. So this let's call it a spiritual coldness, has a pattern. So it begins when something else takes the place of the one that really needs the place in your life. So it's anders vir die plek van God in jou lewe. It might be your attention. It might be your affection. It might be, you know, your obedience, your dreams, your time, your work, your gedagtes. Iets het die plek van God begin vat, stadig, maar seker in jou lewe. At first, it doesn't look evil. Dit lyk nie sleg nie. It's just a little movement. Just a little movement. And this is important. The important things can be your distraction, your ambition, your comfort, your entertainment. It might be a relationship, a romantic relationship, your need for approval. It might be your work, your career. It might be the ministry that take away your attention to the most important person in your life, and it's God. And you know what? So that very, very holy place in your life, that very special place in your life, is gone. It's taken by someone else, something else. The place where the throne of God should be. So it's slowly, it's sometimes invisible, but you adjust your life, your soul, to this new pattern in life. So if you, again, if you want to see where the decay and the wickedness of the world shows, it's in right in the church. If you want to monitor the whole backwards trend in the world around us, you will see it in the church. You can get excited about all the wars and all the earthquakes, but just look around you. Just look around us here in Windhoek. So sometimes we say, you know what, I'm just busy. You know, that's a reason. I'm just busy. That's a horrible excuse. Because you had time yesterday. You had time to watch rugby. You had time to go to the mall and spend some time. But when God's stuff appears, and then when this is necessary, where are we? Where do we find ourselves? So you just move a little bit. And your days become weeks, and weeks become months. And eventually you remember the person you were somewhere. You were some sort of person 20 years back in your life. I remember the passion that I had for Christ, and it disappeared somehow in my life. And that should really, really disturb us when we think about it. Because Scripture, right through Scripture, and I will just remind you of one of these moments, that there is this, and God confronts us with this pattern in the Bible. You will look for example in Jeremiah 2 verse 2. What you will see is this is what God says. I remember your devotion of your youth. How as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness. Dis wat die Here sê. En dan gebruik hy 'n baie besondere woord. Hierdie woord wat hy gebruik vir hierdie liefde wat ons vir God het, is soos 'n verloving. Dit is soos wanneer mens trou. So ons het getrou en jy het weggeloop. Onthou daai eerste troudag. Ons honeymoon. And God says, that love is gone. That specific love is just gone. And he expresses it in this very view of a bridal marriage sort of wedding thing. And you wandered away, he says in Jeremiah. You just slowly wandered away. And what you did was you exchanged his glory with something else. You substituted with something else. Slowly, piece by piece, your faith is fading away. 5 minutes here, one compromise there, one prayer postponed, one conviction just ignored. Your appetite is fed by something else. So every time you do that, it seems like a very small thing that you do. But you don't realize how important it is. You don't realize how it slowly takes you away from a burning heart that you had. You move into a distance. And what you do is, you blame God. What you say is, no, God moved away. But think about it. Who moved? We moved. I moved. There's a moment in Revelations 2. And I think this is a text that we should wrestle with as Christians. And God is busy speaking with the church in Ephesus. In Ephesus. To kerk. And he said something about that church. He said, while your works were good, I mean, you do have endurance, you have discernment, I mean, you resisted all the false teachers. And then he says the following. Well, it seems like a very good church. It seems like a very strong church. But then he said in verse 4, yet, this I hold against you. You have forsaken your first love. Julle het julle eerste liefde vergeet. And then he says, and this is the remedy. There's a surgical process now, a spiritual one going on. He says in verse 5, consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Now there's a new pattern. Remember, repent, return. Remember, repent, return. That's a pattern. So what we normally do is, when we feel that we moved away from God, we are looking for some sort of emotional moment. We go to a Hillsong's concert. We are watching beautiful music and church events, or you go to a church event and you hope that you will get this kickstart in your faith again. But before you do that, remember, repent, return. Before there's an emotion, before you are looking for this goosebump moments in your spiritual life, just do this. Just return. That will change everything in your life again. Because your return moment cannot wait for something emotional that should happen in your life. Maybe a friend of yours invite you to one of these churches and it's a wonderful moment. That's great. Remember, repent, return is important. Not how wonderful the singers were, or who the pastor were. It's not about them. It's about returning to God, to Christ, to the movement of the Holy Spirit. So what if obedience comes first? Not some sort of event. Obedience, just obedience. What if you just open your Bible for a change and read it and apply it? What if you just kneel down and pray again? What if you just confess before you feel guilty enough and sorry enough? Maybe you should just delete the stuff that in the first place took you away from Christ and moved away. What if you just forgive? What if you just return to your church? What if you just tell someone else about Christ and the truth about his salvation? So passion isn't sustainable when you're looking for emotional event. What you need is abide in Christ. Bly in my, sê die Here, Johannes 15. Abide in me. Bly in me. Believing the gospel. Obeying his word. Walking in the spirit. Return again and again and again. And go back to the cross. Not the cross around my neck or the cross somewhere in the church. The cross where Jesus died for us. That cross. The Son of God rejected, mocked, beaten, crucified, bearing the sin of the innocent. The innocent dying for the guilty. Go back there. Go back there. Jesus did not go to Calvary because humanity was impressive. He went there because humanity was lost. That is why he went there. So salvation was never a story of people to get decent, nice Christians, just to get a slightly better into our lives. We sinned. We rebelled. We wandered away. We loved the darkness. We still love the darkness. We enjoy the darkness. We go back to the darkness. And we cannot rescue ourselves. And then God came after us. Seek us. Hy soek ons. So grace is not pretending that sin doesn't matter. Grace is God doing for sinners what sinners cannot do for themselves. We need salvation. That is why repentance isn't a punishment. It is an invitation to come home. Maybe your prayer life collapsed. Come home. And maybe your success became your God. Come home. And maybe nobody knows what you are doing behind closed doors. but come home. Maybe you are just exhausted, distracted, come home. And don't confuse come home with God doesn't care how you live. God really cares about it. Grace is forgiveness. Grace transforms us. The Christ who receives the sinners calls the sinners to follow him. But the devil, the enemy, will tell you, God doesn't care. Or maybe he will say, no, your sin and your life is in such a bad space that God will never take you back. That is a lie. Your sin matters. That is why Jesus died for us. His blood is sufficient. Mercy is real. Holiness matters to God. So Jesus isn't waiting for you to become impressive. He wants you to come home. Come home. And this is what we should hear as Christians as well, because we slide it away. We move slightly away because other things became so important. And we can see what is happening in the church around him. There's this beautiful story of the prodigal son, die verlore seun, in Luke 15. In Luke 15, we know that story. That's a story about grace. That is the most important story about grace in the whole Bible. Well, the whole Bible is important about grace. But point is, you remember that story, that son, the lost one. He was sitting there between the pigs and he decided to repent. You remember? He repent and he returned. That's a pattern. He went home. And his father saw him from afar. His father ran to him. His father embraced him and kissed him. Now that is grace. That is the gospel of God. And when you read that word that says kiss him, embraced him and kissed him, is a massive Greek word that says he kissed him affectionately. Affectionately. Hy het hom innig vasgehou en hom so vasgedruk. While he still can smell the rebellion against him. He can smell the sin, and yet he embraced him in love. That's grace. So it doesn't make the rebellion good, but it makes the mercy so breathtaking. This is what God does. And if you have wandered away from God, Satan will tell you, stay there in the varkhok, in the pig pen. Stay there, because God doesn't want you back. God will smell your rebellion from afar. No, that is what, so get up, go home. Go home, confess what happened. Stop negotiating. This is what the most people do. They just negotiate about this movement away from God and tell them, there's something, I'm just struggling with something in my life. That is the main excuse we have. I'm just struggling. For a moment, but it will get better. Normally it doesn't. So bring the problem to the light, repent. And if you fall again, repent again. Genuinely. Not you do not fake it, you come back. Come back to Jesus again and again and again. You can come back. He is our Savior. David, King David, the psalmist David, he tells us this whole story in Psalm 51. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. I mean, it's one of the most desperate prayers of repentance that you can see as in Psalm 51. And there he says, and it's interesting, want die meeste van ons het Afrikaanse Bybels, jy kan nie glo verskil die Afrikaans en die Engels veral by vers 12 in Psalm 51 nie. But what the English Bible says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Kyk bietjie wat sê die Afrikaans, het sê dit heeltemal anders. But restore, that is a word that he uses. Bring back. Restore says, bring back. Bring back my salvation. Bring back this moment with you. It's not something that I do. It's your salvation. Salvation is in your hand. It means that when you grew cold, when you feel cold and away from God, admit, it's getting cold around me. I lost something of that warm feeling of Christ in my life. And sometimes we need just a simple, simple little prayer. Jesus, I miss you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I've been pretending for the last 5 years. I'm so sorry. Pray it. Just pray it. God isn't intimidated by your honest prayers. He needs you to say it. And it's not an emotion. You ask Him to expose the things that made me God so cold, so far away from God. So be willing to surrender your life again to Christ. Because what we do is, ons het so tydjie terug gepraat oor hierdie comfortably numb, hierdie afgestomptheid wat ons het. As jy die afgestompte goeders bly voed en bly kos gee, if you feed the numbness, you will remain there. You will always remain there. You will get spiritually numb as well, stunted. So we cannot continually rehearse bitterness and wonder why I feel so empty inside. I cannot feed the whole week on lust or whatever it is and wonder why there is no holiness. It feels like tasteless in my life. We cannot give every spare second in my life to all the noises of the world around us and then wonder why I cannot get silent and quiet around the Word of God. I cannot treat Jesus like an emergency contact on my phone and expect to flourish in my spiritual life. Cannot do that. I cannot starve a relationship and then wonder why I feel so distant. It's not just with God, it's with anybody else. John 15 again, abide in me. Bly in my. Not occasionally. Doesn't say visit me occasionally. Abide, remain, stay there. Stay, make Christ your home. Christ, the life of a Christian, isn't about a major, dramatic, some sort of encounter that I had 20 years ago. It is about today and tomorrow. And sometimes when life hurts, then as well. And when prayer feels glorious, yes. And when prayer feels in the distance, yes, then too. Abide in Him. Just abide in Him. And when you celebrate something in your life, yes, abide in Him. And when you are sad and struggling, abide in Him. Just abide in Him. Bly in my, sê die Here. Dis wat hy vra. And sometimes you can just open your Bible and say, Jesus, I'm still here. I'm still longing for you. I love you. I need you. That's what I need. It's not emotion. If you get tired, stay in Him. If you grieve, stay in Him. If you suffer, stay in Him. That is what the Bible says here. As julle volhard tot die einde toe. Bly net in Hom. There will be many things around us happening, scary things. Just remain in Him. Abide in Him. So Christian maturity is not goosebump sort of entertainment moments that we have. The goosebump moment is to stay in Christ. That is the moment. Sometimes deep faith is just silent. It's just quiet. It's just quiet. So the question is, do I feel that I am in a relationship with Christ today? Am I still following Jesus today? Am I abiding in His Word today? Am I obeying Him today? Am I confessing my sin, or do I protect it? Do I have all sort of excuses for why I'm doing it? Do I still desire Christ? Do I still desire to become more like Christ? And then there is the surgery, spiritual surgery, that is going to happen. You don't need to impress Christ. You need Him. So this is new pattern. The old one says, my attention drifts away. Compromise enters my life. Conviction gets negotiated about. Sin becomes familiar. The scripture becomes distant. Jesus is there on the ends of my life, peripheral. But there's a new way that we can live. Remember. Repent. Return. Abide. Obey. Receive grace. Walk with Jesus again. So this is what Jesus do as he rewrites our life. He rewrites grace. You know, the biggest tragedy in life is not just that I realized that I grew cold, but that Jesus is calling me back and I reject it. That is the biggest tragedy. He is saying, coming home, come back. I'm waiting for you. And still we refuse to do so. There will be earthquakes. And it should concern us. It should take us back to the Bible and reminds us this is the end times. There will be wars and rumors of wars. That's a reminder. But the biggest reminder is, look around you. We are getting cold, distant from God, the church. Remember, repent, return. Let's pray. Father God, today we stand guilty before you because of this weariness, this movement away from you, the loss of focus. We step away. We live from the crumbs while you are the bread of life right beside us. Father, we pray for the church. We pray for ourselves. We pray that you will change our attitude, our commitment, our conviction, so that we will abide in you. Pray for one another today. We pray for all those who are struggling with their health or finances or emotions that are out of control. Pray for our country. We pray for all our youngsters, our older people, the elderly. We pray for those who are sick, those who experience loss and pain and suffering. Will you please come and keep us together as a church, as a community of faith. Bring us back, Father. Create in us this burning urge, urgency just to live with you. We remember. We repent and we return. Amen. Here sal julle seën en julle beskerm. Die Here sal tot julle redding verskyn en julle genadig wees. Die Here sal julle gebede verhoor en aan julle vrede gee. Amen.